tonight.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Greg McMichael, guilty. William R. Bryan, guilty.
The jury decides the fate of the men who killed Ahmaud Arbery. The joy and relief outside the courthouse.
We have a lot of injustice, but finally we got justice.
The victim's mother, her message for the McMichael family.
Not only did my family lose, their family lost as well.
And his father's hope.
I knew Jesse was going down.
This special edition of Nightline, Justice for Ahmaud. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much I know.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. One of the defense attorneys said today that Travis McMichael and his father, quote, truly believe they were doing the right thing to protect their neighbors and friends, end quote. But the jury deciding the fate of the three men who killed Ahmaud Arbery did not agree.
All right, the jury.
Madam Foreperson, I understand you have reached a verdict as to each defendant.
We have, Your
Honor. After 11 hours of deliberations, the fate decided for the three men accused of murdering Ahmaud Arbery.
Verdict is as follows. Count one, malice murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty.
Travis McMichael, the man who shot 25-year-old Arbery while he was jogging on a Georgia road, found guilty on all nine counts, including murder, aggravated assault, and false imprisonment. The emotion in the courtroom, palpable.
I'm going to ask that whoever just made an outburst be removed from the court, please.
Arbery's father, Marcus, unable to contain his reaction, leaving the courtroom before the full verdict was read.
Have a seat.
The jury delivering a resounding statement.
As to Gregory McMichael.
On the guilt of all three men.
Count two, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. As to William R. Bryan, count five, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, guilty.
Travis McMichael's father, Gregory, found guilty on eight of the nine counts. Neighbor William Bryan found guilty on six of the nine counts.
The quick turnaround in this case tells me one thing, that the prosecution's case was so strong that it fed the jury the information they needed.
Outside the courtroom, cheers erupted.
We have a lot of injustice, but finally we got justice.
Like my grandmama say, you made your bed, you sleep in it.
It just broke me into tears.
The exhale of relief evident when I spoke to the family's attorney.
Ben, if I can start with you, your reaction to the verdict.
Quickly, my mind thought about just all the names, Byron. Michael Brown, Tamir Rice, Philando Castile, Eric Gardner. Finally, two times in 1 year, George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery. Jim Crow is still alive and well, but we gaining on it.
For the family of Arbery, belief and prayer.
God put us all together to make this happen.
Mr. Arbery, if you would take us back to that moment in the courtroom, we heard you make that audible reaction. What was going through your heart and mind in that moment?
Joy. When I heard that guilty verdict from the one that pulled the trigger, I really was happy because I knew Jessel was falling down.
God is good.
Arbery's mother, who sat in court day after day throughout often excruciating testimony, thanked those who rallied for her son.
Thank you for those who marched, those who prayed. You know him as Ahmaud. I know him as Quez.
Yes.
He will now rest in peace.
Amen.
A peace that's taken nearly 2 years to come. On February 23rd, 2020, Arbery was running through Satilla Shores, a predominantly white neighborhood in southern Georgia, when someone called 911 around 1 p.m.
There's a guy in the house right now. It's a house under construction.
Is it someone breaking into it right now?
No, it's all open. It's under construction.
Surveillance video from that construction site shows Arbery walking through, but he wasn't breaking the law. The homeowner told ABC News nothing was missing or stolen, and that he never reported any burglaries. A second 911 call was made by Travis McMichael's father, Gregory.
I don't know what street we're on. Stop right there! Stop!
A short time later, this video taken by defendant Brian shows Arbery running, veering around a pickup truck, then struggling with Travis, who's armed with a shotgun. Arbery was not armed. Travis McMichael shot Ahmaud Arbery three times. Arbery's death wouldn't make national headlines until 3 months after he was killed, once that graphic cell phone video surfaced online.
No justice, no peace.
The killing viewed by many as a modern-day lynching. It took 74 days for charges to be brought against the three men, the McMichaels and Brian maintaining they were trying to make a citizen's arrest, believing Arbery was a thief, all pled not guilty.
The defense had to argue that this was a citizen's arrest because except for a citizen's arrest, they would not be able to get to the idea of self-defense because, by all accounts, they provoked this interaction.
Since the trial started more than a month ago, the prosecution and defense have painted starkly different narratives.
And they made their decision to attack Ahmaud Arbery in their driveways because he was a black man running down the street.
If this was a case about wanting to murder a black jogger, if this was really a case about that, Travis would not have reacted the way he reacted.
Special Prosecutor Linda Donikoski attacked the defendant's claim of self-defense.
You cannot be the initial unjustified aggressor. You can't create the situation and then go, I was defending myself.
And picked apart their argument that they were executing a citizen's arrest.
Did Ahmaud Arbery commit any offense in the presence of any of these defendants? The answer to that is no. Boom. Citizen's arrest is gone.
Just raise your right hand. Swear to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and see.
In a dramatic move, Travis McMichael, the man who shot and killed Arbery, took the stand in his own defense.
It was obvious that he was attacking me, that if he would have got the shotgun from me, then it was this is a life or death situation. And I'm going to have to stop him from doing this, so I shot.
I think part of the problems that the defense had in putting on Travis McMichael is that his story started to morph and change as it continued.
Behind the scenes, what jurors didn't see, there was a lot of argument about black pastors. One of the defense lawyers was upset that Reverend Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and others kept appearing in the courtroom.
We don't want any more black pastors coming in here.
If a bunch of folks came in here dressed like Colonel Sanders with white masks sitting in the back, I mean, that would be a problem.
The defense kept interjecting subtle notes of race or racial animosity.
In her closing arguments, Laura Hoag, the defense attorney for Gregory McMichael, taking one final swipe at Arbery that left the courtroom stunned.
Turning Ahmaud Arbery into a victim after the choices that he made does not reflect the reality of what brought Ahmaud Arbery to Satilla Shores in his khaki shorts with no socks to cover his long, dirty toenails.
If the concept of dirty, unkept, beaten up feet is a concept that many African American people understand to relate as to the feet of our ancestors, the feet of runaway slaves, and to create that imagery, especially when there's no actual evidence presented in the case of that, brings in this racial aspect of dehumanizing Ahmaud Arbery.
For Arbery's mother, that comment too much. She left the courtroom after it was uttered.
She never mentioned the big hole that was in his chest from that gunshot wound. I mean, he not only did he have dirty long toenails, he had a hole in his chest.
You can zealously represent your client without being racist and discriminatory.
The jury, 11 whites, one black. The prosecutor responsible for helping secure those guilty verdicts walking out to a hero's welcome.
The jury system works in this country. Mm-hmm. And when you present the truth to people and they
Come on, see it, right.
They will do the right thing.
That's what this jury did today
in getting justice for Ahmaud Arbery.
The three men now facing life in prison for Ahmaud Arbery's father, Marcus, today was just one step on the road to justice.
For real, all life matters.
Yes.
Not just black children. We don't want to see nobody go through this.
Amen.
I wouldn't want to see no daddy watch a kid get left and shot down like that. So it's all our problem. It's all our problem.
We got the guilty verdict, and he will rest in peace. My family will rest on that.
Shortly after the verdict, I spoke to Ahmaud Arbery's mother, Wanda Cooper Jones, about the long fight for justice she's been on.
Right now, as I sit here, I'm thankful that I didn't stop. Back in 2020, when the murder first happened, it was 74 days without any arrest. And it was part of those 74 days, it was no legal representation. Very, very dark days. But in the midst of those dark days, I still had faith that God will see us through.
What, if anything, if you could talk to the McMichaels or talk to their families, might you say to them on this night?
You guys are going to jail possibly forever. You took a lot from my family and I. We took a loss that can't be replaced. But at the same time, you guys have three generations of loss. Your father, the son, and the grandchildren. So not only did my family lose, their family lost as well.
Is it possible to pray for the McMichaels, you think?
Yes, it is possible. Because again, like I shared earlier, my family took a loss, but their family took a loss as well.
Where do you go from here? Where should we go as a nation from here?
As I sit here today, I'm not sure what do I do from now. I have to retrain myself that I'm a mother of three children, but I have a deceased child. How do you live with that? That's something that I have to learn how to live with. I'm not sure where I go from here, to be honest.
Tonight, I spoke to Johns Hopkins University history professor Leah Wright Rigueur, LA Times op-ed columnist LZ Granderson, and ABC senior national correspondent Terry Moran about the implications of this verdict. Thank you all for joining us. LZ, let's start with you. It was a resounding guilty verdict today. Did you have any doubts, though, and think it might possibly go another way?
Of course. I mean, I live in America. Regardless of how much the video showed, regardless of the testimony, I just have seen too much. We all have, not to wonder if this was going to be a guilty verdict or not.
And Leah, when I was speaking to attorney Ben Crump earlier today, he said Jim Crow isn't dead yet, but we're gaining on it. Today's verdict, was it a watershed moment, you think?
This is huge. But it's huge for a number of different reasons. Certainly it's huge because while it doesn't bring justice, real justice would be Ahmaud Arbery still alive, but it does bring a sense of accountability. It's also a watershed moment because we have a jury in the South that is predominantly white, all but one black juror on this jury, presided over by a white male judge with a set of white prosecutors and white defense attorneys, essentially convicting this group of white men. And I think we should be pointing to that signals perhaps not just a watershed event, but the beginnings of something transformative, is that this is the end, in Georgia at least, of these kind of vigilante citizen arrest laws.
You know, Terry, you covered the Rittenhouse case. The trials were different, of course, but had some similarities. There was a legal process and a jury verdict in both cases. But what do these two different verdicts say about our criminal justice system, you think?
You know, Byron, I think it says the power of the jury system is what you see. You may agree or disagree with the verdict, but the jurors, generally, in my experience, not just with Rittenhouse, I've covered scores of criminal trials over the years. They take their job really seriously. They listen to the law. They look at all the evidence. They do try to do their duty. That is my experience. They've got a higher batting average than most of the rest of our government. You may not agree with their verdict, but they try their hardest.
Leah, talk about the courtroom behavior of the defense attorneys. At one point, criticizing the presence of black preachers in the court. At another, attorney talking about Ahmaud's hygiene. What kind of strategy was that?
Well, what was really fascinating and perhaps unsurprising is that the defense attorneys relied on an explicitly racialized and racist defense. We saw examples when they said, we wished we had had more Bubbas on the jury. We also saw several references to these outbursts, right, around black preachers. I think the one that really stunned not just the entire courtroom and perhaps the nation, but certainly had an impact on the jury for the negative, was the reference to Ahmaud Arbery as dirty, the reference to toenails. And you have to ask yourself, what were they thinking, right? One of the things that we know about juries in this country, even juries that we might think of as rooted in bias or things like that, is that in this day and age, they do not like explicit racism.
LZ, we all saw the video of Ahmaud Arbery, a black man being chased by white men with guns. For many, it was a painful reminder of America's past. Did this verdict, you think, heal any wounds?
No. And it doesn't bring me joy to say that because, you know, I want to be elated that justice was served. I want to be happy that Ahmaud Arbery's family can find some measure of peace, knowing that the men who killed him were convicted. But I also know that if there was no video, there would have been no trial. I also know that had it not been for video, that Officer Chauvin would still be on the streets in Minneapolis. So until we get to the place in which we aren't reliant upon social media to make a video go viral, until we're no longer reliant upon people to protest and march the streets day in and day out for justice to be served, there can't be any healing. I mean, honestly, what exactly transpired over the course of these few weeks with this trial that rang different than, say, Trayvon Martin, which also needed protests, which needed video, which needed, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm tired of going over the same cycle over and over again. So until we get to a place where we don't have to protest and march in the streets, in which we don't need 100 pastors to pray with a grieving family, when the justice system in and of itself can function without us marching and demanding justice, then I can start talking about healing. Until then, we're on a hamster wheel.
I hear. It was Fannie Lou Hamer who said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I've known each of you for a long time. I know we've had these conversations on camera, off camera. And Terry, I close out with you. You and I have known each other for a very long time. We're often asked to come in and give context to moments like this on a variety of areas. So last question to you. Reverend Al Sharpton said in Brunswick, Georgia, will go down in history as a place that criminal justice took a different turn. From your perspective, what's the lasting impact of this case?
Yeah, Byron, it does feel big to me, doesn't it? And in this, I differ a little bit with respect for my friend and colleague, L.Z. Grandison. I agree with him. This doesn't mean anything until we go much further. But I was particularly moved as I listened to the verdict. Not the verdict, but when the judge polled the jurors and you heard those soft, lovely, Georgia draws, each one of them affirming justice for the Arbery family. You could hear there were Bubbas on that jury. Mm-hmm. You could hear that. But I think the jury put their shoulders to the wheel in this case. And as LZ points out rightly, we all need to put our shoulders to the wheel.
Yeah, yeah. The promise of America is just that, a promise.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.